with a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
I can smell the beep beep lettuce. That's how you know it's Slim and Monty back in the same room. It's A&AMMA.
You already know I'm burning them.
Burning them.
Burning them back at them. It's Monty.
It's your boy with the dollar sign. Slim.
Slim come backins.
I dropped a song.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I don't want to wake up.
Produced by me. You know, your boy's flexing his producer credits.
Young flexing.
Yeah. Young by a beatington.
Why didn't you think my make a beat tweet was funny last night?
I didn't get it.
Bro, I thought that was your joke.
No.
I thought I was playing off your joke because you said I'm about to go. It's like 1 a.m. and you tweet, I'm about to go home.
It was
... and make a beat.
It was 11.
So I'm like, all right, someone's about to go home and jerk off. Good one.
I mean, that followed, but you know, that wasn't my initial plan. That's a given. That's
so
my,
I had to give you a meme or something.
Yeah.
Or a gif.
I had no clue. No one of those people were liking that shit. They thought I was really going home to fap.
People thought you were funny.
Damn. All right. Well, no. I just,
inadvertently funny.
Yeah. I actually made music. But
I actually made music.
It's the sound of my fap. Anyway, so what did we miss? What did we miss? What did we miss? We were gone for, 2 weeks now?
Something like that.
There's no UFC last week. Not much.
Brian Ortega pulled out like 2 days ago from UFC Korea.
And you know what?
Frankie Edgar stepped in.
Don't like that at all because...
You don't like that Frankie Edgar stepped in?
For one, no. I don't think it's a fight Frankie's going to win. For two... Frankie says, I'm going to fight and win, and then I'm going to go fight Sandhagen on January 20th. At a new weight class?
Yeah.
No.
You think that's crazy?
I think that's a horrible decision on his part.
Damn.
Because if, you know, Ortega continues his streak of just, like, wrecking people, you know, he's got two knockouts.
Ortega's not fighting.
Huh? Oh, the Korean Zombie, if he continues his streak of just wrecking people, because he knocked out... In his last three fights, he knocked out two of them and sent the other one to the hospital, even though he lost.
Right.
So, Frankie's going to absorb all that and then go fight Corey Sandhagen?
Who has a higher... more output?
Way more output than Korean Zombie?
Ouch.
No. I don't like that.
I understand, but it's a valiant thought.
Yeah. I mean, props to him at 38 for stepping up and saying he's going to do all that, but I feel bad for Sandhagen, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he doesn't get that fight, yeah, obviously, that's really shitty for him, but, shit, if Frankie ends up winning this in, like, stunning fashion or something like that, and then fucking Sandhagen. That hypes up his fight even more.
True, so, yeah, that'd be good.
It could go either way. I don't want to talk about the Browns. Don't ask me about the Browns. We're not going to talk about nothing like that. I don't want to talk about the Cavaliers. I don't really want to talk about nothing.
I don't want to talk to anybody.
I got a cute cat.
Shout out my cat's power. All right, guys. We'll be back next week.
But, yeah, no, I've just honestly been waiting. I don't think there was really too much news. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, was...
Yeah, that one Irish bloke got announced.
Oh, Conor McGregor's fighting again. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Conor McGregor versus Cowboy Cerrone. When's that going to be? January
18th.
Wait, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the other fight's on the 25th. That's my fault. The Sandhagen fight. January 18th. Cowboy Cerrone. I believe it's UFC 246.
It is.
First pay-per-view of the year.
And it's going to be headlined by a non-championship fight.
Yeah. Ugh. Weird.
And then Conor just recently came out, what was that, today or yesterday, where he said he wants to fight Masvidal at 170. That's why he wants to fight Cerrone at 170, not 155.
Yeah, there's many,
he's trying to get ready for that 170 bout with Masvidal.
There's many reasons why he would want to fight at 170, right, to prove that he can win at 170 to, you know, set up the fight with Masvidal.
Well, he has won at 170.
Once.
Yeah.
But once. If he loses, then he can, you know, be like, oh, well, I took it on short notice. I couldn't cut the weight. That's why we did it at 170. You know, there's so many reasons why he's doing this.
Right.
I don't really think it sets up that many opportunities for him at 155 if he does this, but it's definitely setting up the Masvidal fight. You know?
Definitely. I agree. There was Michael Venom Page fought. He knocked out. Oh, yeah.
A wild knockout.
Fucking Giovanni Melillo. Yeah, with a fucking, you know, just a typical one-punch MVP knockout.
The usual.
We'll get into him a little bit more later. Paige Van Zandt versus Amanda Ribas.
That's a good one.
That'll be at March 14th in Brazil.
This one's cool. Jimmy Crute versus Michael Oleksichuk.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
That's honestly a pretty crazy fight.
That's going to be in Auckland.
Yeah, that's a pretty crazy fight. Honestly, the biggest one is officially we can let you guys know. Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Tony Ferguson will be April 18th in Brooklyn, New York.
So far out.
It is so far out, but
I'm willing to wait. Please, MMA gods, please. I have one request this Christmas.
Last year, my request was Paulo Costa versus Yoel Romero.
We got it.
Next year, my request is Tony versus Khabib.
Please. I only ask one thing a year.
Right.
Please.
Please. Also, Anthony Pettis versus Diego Ferreira. That'll be also on that UFC 246 card.
Our boy, Jeff Hughes.
El Jefe coming back.
He's fighting Carlos Felipe.
Unbeaten Carlos Felipe.
8-0 in Brazil, March 14th.
Jeff don't give a fuck about nothing. Dude, he'll run up in your hood, straight up. Like, Jeff will run up in your hood.
Just going to Brazil.
He don't give a fuck.
What if he comes back mad tan, looking like a potato?
Oh, he's going to. Dan Hooker versus Paul Felder.
I like
that'll
that.
Also be at UFC face Auckland. Off? That intense.
Dude,
fucking
face why off. Was Felder so mad? he looked pissed.
That is funny. Kyoji Horiguchi had to give up his Bellator belt.
Why?
Because he got hurt really bad and hasn't been able to fight.
Oh.
But apparently when he comes back, he will be able to immediately get the title shot.
I didn't know he was allowed to defend both.
What, the Ryzen and the Bellator? I think it's just his Bellator belt that he got.
I mean, wait, did he lose the Ryzen one?
No, he won them both. Remember he fought Darian Caldwell?
Yeah.
And he won the Ryzen and Bellator?
I thought... He was like, that was just a one-time thing.
I think he's still like the multiple division champ.
Oh, good for him. Or organization champ.
Yeah. Holly Holm versus Raquel Pennington at UFC 246 as well.
That's a rematch, I believe.
Is that the co-main event?
I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see. I know it's going to be on the main card for sure.
Yeah.
Corey Anderson and Jan Błachowicz, definitely the title contender fight.
For sure.
Number one contender. Fights Jon Jones after Dominic Reyes.
Right.
100%. There's no questions asked. Whoever wins that fight,
I like that one a lot.
Goes next. But yeah, that's all the like news I got for real.
There was one more. Sadiq Youssef is fighting on the Conor card, I think.
Really?
I just don't remember who against who.
Huh.
Yeah, it's whatever. But yeah, multiple fights coming up.
Yeah.
That was... Oh, another one. Magomed Musafayev versus Brad Riddell.
Ooh,
I like that. Alex Morono versus Diego Lima.
Oh wow,
that's a big one.
Two streaking fighters.
Oh, we should talk about Diego Sanchez versus Michelle Pereira.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That is crazy,
dude. That's so nuts. Did you talk about Meatball already?
Molly McCann. Who's she fighting?
She is fighting Ashley Evan Smith.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I like that. You talked about Patreon, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Brunson signs a new 6-fight deal.
Oh.
So he's going to be in there for a bit.
Okay.
Brian Kelleher versus Ode Osborne?
Who?
O-D-E Osborne.
Oh, yeah. He was on the Contender Series.
Ah, okay. I like this one a lot. Macy Chason versus Nico Montano.
Oh, yeah. That one is going to be fire.
That's pretty much the majority of what I got. Okay.
So, that leads us into...
our first fight that we got coming up in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. And Slim's first card where he is now going to be awarded 1.5 fights per win. If you win, can I only pay you $50 since we're giving you a...
What?
Since I'm giving you an
We're pretty
an
much
advantage?
Doing double or nothing. It's not an advantage. You only got 3 weeks. Or 3 cards, rather.
Oh, it's an advantage. I'm giving you the advantage. It's yours to lose, Slim.
I know. The odds are against me.
No, it's yours to... It's not yours to win. It's yours to lose.
What? I know. The odds are against me.
No, they're for you.
For losing?
To win.
What?
Bro, you get 1.5 wins per...
Oh.
You can turn it around in one.
In one?
In one.
In one card, we're going to disagree card. On 6 fights.
Possibly.
And I'm going to
get them all of them.
That'd be a stretch. But maybe. Maybe he's right. Come back, know. Slimmington, folks. I don't know. Let's see how it plays out.
I don't know. I'm probably going to whoop you up.
Damn it. All right. So this is in D.C. It was supposed to be Alistair Overeem versus Walt Big Ticket Harris, but unfortunately, some piece of shit out in wherever Walt Harris lives murdered...
Alabama?
Yeah, murdered his stepdaughter.
Yeah.
How sad, dude.
That's terrible.
It was so sad. So prayers to Walt Harris and his family. But in steps now, Jairzinho Rozenstruik coming up that knockout over Andrei Arlovski just... Like a month ago?
Something, yeah. I think like a month, last month.
What a huge opportunity for him. Taking on Overeem. They're both Dutch.
That is not true.
Suriname is kind of like in the Netherlands.
So, that's not true at all. Suriname is in South America, but...
What?
Suriname was a... So, the Dutch were kind of like the English, and they were colonists. So, what they did was colonize the people of Suriname. Mm. So that's why they have a lot of Dutch connections, just like Haiti with France. You know, Haitian people aren't French.
Puerto Rico in the U.S.?
Sure.
It's a, kind of like a...
Puerto Rico's technically a part of the U.S., but yeah, no, those don't relate at all. All
right. I'm just trying to fit in. Well, anyway... So, let's take it from the bottom. Shall we?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so in the first fight, we have Trevor Hot Sauce Smith going up against Mahmoud Muradov. Mahmoud Muradov.
There you go.
There we are.
Good job.
So, Hot Sauce Smith, he's 38, 6'3", fighting out of the middleweight division. He's coming off a pair of losses here to Zach Cummings and Elias Theodoru. Both are by decision. He is... Oh, I don't have his UFC record here.
His UFC record is 5-6.
Nice.
We're talking about Trevor?
Yeah.
Hot Sauce Smith?
Okay. Yeah. Going up against Mahmoud Muradov. Where is he from?
He is from
the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
He's only 29. And his record is 23-6. Very good. He's got... One win in the UFC in his debut. He beat...
I'm about to let Spyro out of the room.
Okay. He beat Alessio de Chirico. And he's on a... Oh, my God. That's a lot of fights.
12.
12 fight winning streak. Jeez.
Say hi, Pipey. Say hi.
Aw, you don't want to talk, Bubby. It's okay.
He's shy. Anyway, I think I'm going to go with Mahmoud.
Oh, that's all you're talking about, Slim?
Did you have more to say?
I did. Spyro, get out of here, you little piece of shit. So, Trevor Hot Sauce Smith is at a distinct striking advantage here with Mahmoud, who is going to prefer to keep it on the feet here. Trevor Smith, though, he does land about almost 2 takedowns per 15 minutes, so I can guarantee you he will be looking for the submission, be looking for the takedown the entire time, while Mahmoud is throwing some big, big shots. Did he win by knockout in his last fight?
Mahmoud?
Yes.
Decision?
Okay. See, that's not the Czech Republic flag. Where the fuck is that?
It's not.
Uzbekistan.
Okay.
But he's like...
Fighting out of, yeah.
He was born in Uzbekistan, but he's from Czech Republic. Gotcha.
we know.
So... 17-1 in his past 18 fights since March of 2015. 12-fight winning streak. I'm going to have to go with Mahmoud Murdov as well. ANA, MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Mahmoud Murdov, who is the biggest favorite on the card at minus 440, while Trevor Smith is the heavy plus 340 underdog. So, yeah, definitely take Mahmoud Murdov in that one.
Wow. All right. Hoping you would go against me on that. No. Okay, so this next one we got Verna Jandiroba.
Yep.
Going up against Mallory Martin.
Yeah, so go ahead. Sorry. Go into the tail of the tape.
So we got Verinda. I believe she's making her UFC debut here.
Verinda.
No. What? Verna. Verindian. We got Verna. She's not making her UFC debut. She fought Carla Esparza back in... What was that?
Which is a pretty tough first UFC fight, not going to lie.
She fought her back in April, but she was undefeated. I think I picked her in that fight as well to beat Esparza. Pretty sure, because she was undefeated. But she is 14-1 right now, going up against Mallory Martin. 6-2, and she is on... Oh, this is her UFC debut.
Yeah, she's on a 5-fight win streak.
Wow, she fought in Invicta, went back to the Contender Series, and then... Or fought in the Contender Series and went back to Invicta.
Yeah, so she lost to Macy Barber. And then she lost in another, like, full-night Grand Prix, where it was, like, a split decision. But she is known for talking a lot of shit. And like almost like Khabib with Michael Johnson, like Whoa. She likes getting on top of her opponents and telling them to give up. And the one time she was elbowing her opponent, telling her happy Halloween, like she's a shit talker.
Damn,
she
I like it.
She likes flapping the jaws for sure.
She's only 25.
Only 25. She's fought Macy Barber, so she's seen UFC caliber talent. But when you look at the wins, Verna Jandiroba, she has 11 submission victories out of her 14 wins. The other three wins by decision. Her only loss was by decision. Mallory Martin, on the other hand, she does have 2 knockouts, a submission, and then 3 decisions on her record. Two of her her only 2 losses, I'm sorry, are by
unanimous decision.
Sorry, yeah, Taylor texted me. By decision. Verna Jandiroba, she will be looking for the takedown and submissions the entire time. She does have, in her last fight, she was landing, she did land 3 takedowns. That was good for 60%, or I'm sorry, 33% takedown accuracy, and then she did defend 60% of the takedowns that were thrown at her. I'm going to go with Verna Jandiroba in this one.
I'm going to take Mallory Martin.
ANA MMA going to disagree for our first time on this card. Slim is going with the newcomer, Mallory Martin. I'm going with Verna Jandiroba by submission, too.
What's the odds, baby?
Right now, Verna Jandiroba is sitting as the minus 255 favorite over the plus 200 underdog, Mallory Martin.
I.
You know what I'm saying?
I.
So, yeah, I mean, only 11 days notice for Mallory Martin. We'll see if she can step up.
Yeah. Going on this next one, we have handsome Matt Wyman. When was the last time he fought? How many fought this year?
5 months.
Oh, because he was on a, like, way long break before that.
Jeez, he's had 16 UFC fights. That's crazy.
Right. Going up against Joe Selecki.
Yeah, UFC Contender Series alum.
I don't remember his Contender Series fight.
Too bad for you.
Shame. So Selecki's on a 3-fight win streak right now. He is 8-2 overall. Handsome Matt Wyman lost his return to the UFC against Luis Pena earlier this year. He was on a 5-year layoff at the time.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see if he can come back from that. He's only 36, though.
So interesting enough.
10-year age difference.
Both of Joseph Selecki's losses are to orthodox stance fighters. Matt Wyman, of course, does fight out of the orthodox stance. So that's kind of something to look for right there. And then Joseph Selecki, 6 submissions out of his 8 wins. He typically likes to get it done on the mat, whereas Matt Wyman, out of his 16 victories. He has 4 knockouts and 5 submissions. So he kind of prefers to go to decision more, while Selecki likes getting the finish. Both of these men have been knocked out. Selecki has 1 knockout loss out of his 2, the other one by decision. And then out of Matt Wyman's 8 losses, 3 of them are by knockout, with 5 coming by decision. So he's shown the ability to get clipped. And honestly, I think that is going to be a problem in this one. I just think if he goes for the takedown, which he goes for almost 4 per fight, I think he's probably going to get out muscled by Selecki. And then when it comes to the strikes, I think Selecki's going to be a little bit more accurate and better with his defense. So I'm going with Joseph Selecki in this one.
Shame.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with UFC newcomer Joseph Selecki.
Odds?
The odds are currently sitting, Joseph Selecki is the 2nd biggest favorite on the card over the, he is a -365 over the +290 underdog Matt Wyman.
Nice. Okay. In this next fight, we got Thug Nasty, Bryce Mitchell, going up against Matt Sales.
It's been a minute since we've seen Bryce Mitchell, I feel like.
Yeah, a little bit. Matt Sales actually missed weight in this. He weighed in, I think it was 2.5 pounds over. Bryce fought in March.
Yep.
That was the last time we saw him.
Yeah, 8 months and 14 days ago.
And I believe...
currently on an 11-fight win streak.
Yeah, that's crazy. Matt Sales was on the first season of the Dana White's Contender Series. Wait, did it start in 17 or 18?
17.
Okay, second season. He got his first ground and pound win in the first round on that. But he lost his UFC debut, and then he just came back and beat Kyle Nelson by an arm triangle back in, what was that, June? May.
May.
Bryce Mitchell, though, lost on the Ultimate Fighter. It was only an exhibition bout, but came in and won both of his UFC fights so far. I really like him.
Yeah, so all of his finishes are by submission. He has 8 finishes, all submission, 3 decision wins. So
and he lives in a trailer.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, Matt Sales, always looking for the knockout. 6 of his 8 wins are by KO. So both these guys, definitely finishers. Neither of them have been finished. Obviously, Bryce Mitchell undefeated. Matt Sales, what's he got? 2 losses?
Yeah.
Both of those.
Another 8-2. Wow. 3 fighters in a row. They're 8-2.
So on the feet, Matt Sales is landing 6.1 strikes per minute, which is absolutely crazy.
Damn.
Pair that with his 63% defense. He only absorbs 3.3. That's good for a +2.7 strike differential, which is really, really good, especially compared to Bryce Mitchell's -0.1 strike differential. So obviously, Bryce Mitchell is going to be looking to get this one on the ground. He's going to be looking for that submission pretty consistently throughout the fight. Whether he's going to get that or not, we'll see. This one's hard, man. I'm going to go with Bryce Mitchell.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with the +105 underdog, Bryce Mitchell. Matt Sales is currently sitting as the -135, not too high of a favorite there.
Right. All right, on to this next one. We have Jacob Kilburn going up against Billy...
Badass.
Billy Quarantillo? Quarantillo?
Quantillo.
What?
Quarantillo.
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 Okay. So Kilburn, that's a crazy name. Dude, he's also 8-2. What is with this? What is up with that? What's up with that?
I mean, we've only had like 3 in a row.
4.
Who? Mallory Martin, 6-2.
Oh, okay. Still, very weird.
Still very weird.
Very weird. So this is Kilburn's debut. He's going off a pair of knockouts in the Island Fight Series right now.
Yeah, which is a pretty tough promotion, honestly.
Yeah. He did lose his Contender Series fight to Bobby Moffitt back in...
Bobby Moffitt's a beast.
2018, very true. Only 24 years old. He's 8-2, going up against Billy, whatever that is. He's 30.
Whoa, Spyro, easy.
Chill, dog. Rough landing. Going up against Billy. He's on a 5-fight win streak right now. Few of those. 4 finishes, actually, in one decision. So pretty good job from Billy.
Yeah. But both of these guys, nonetheless, making their UFC debuts, both of them have at least 75%. Both of them do have 75% finish rates. And then, on the other hand... Ooh, Spyro, oh, my God. Go lay down, bro.
What a turd.
Billy Quarantillo has been KO'd, while, on the other hand, Jacob Kilburn has been submitted twice. So it's kind of interesting to see how that's going to end up playing out. If you look at Jacob... That's his first name, right? Jacob? Yeah. Jacob Kilburn. Dude is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belt, karate black belt, judo black belt, and a Japanese Jiu-Jitsu black belt.
Damn.
Where, on the other hand, Billy Quarantillo is a brown belt. So, I don't know. That's kind of interesting. I'm going to go with Billy Quarantillo in this one.
You know what? Whatever Jacob did from his loss in Contender Series, he literally fought over a year later. And came off with 2 knockouts. I'm going to go with Billy. Kill ball, kill burn, killer. Jacob. Jacob.
Okay, so I'm going with Jacob Kilburn. I'm going with Billy Quarantillo in this one. Looking at the odds, Billy Quarantillo is currently the -330 favorite over the +255 Jacob Kilburn. That's good for the third biggest favorite on the card.
Nice!
Slim going with the underdogs, man.
I'm telling you.
He's swinging for the fence.
That's my secret. So going on this next one, we have a pair of little older fighters here.
Yeah.
We got Thiago Alves going up against the Dirty Bird, Tim Means.
Yeah, so the accomplished Thiago Alves, 23-14 overall, 15-11 in the UFC. This will be his 26th UFC welterweight fight, which is the most in that division's history. His 15 victories in the welterweight division are third for most in divisional history, behind only GSP and Matt Hughes. Good company there. His 9 stoppage victories in the UFC welterweight division are tied for third most, only behind Matt Hughes and Matt Brown.
Hmm.
And then his 8 knockout victories in UFC welterweight division are second in welterweight history, behind only Matt Brown. He has 13 knockdowns landed in UFC welterweight competition, which is most in divisional history. He has 4 knockouts coming from knee strikes, which is the most in company history.
Damn, really?
Yeah. And he's also landed 380 leg kicks in the UFC, which is second most in UFC history, behind only Joanna.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some fun facts for you there, Slim.
Huh.
Blow your little freaking wig back, buddy.
You want to know what else is interesting?
What?
Both these fighters in their last 6. Loss, win, loss, loss, win, loss.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Wow.
Very weird.
Both of
what's up with that?
Both of these guys also fought Spencer Fisher, whoever the fuck that is, in 2005. And got submitted by him.
You don't remember Spencer Fisher?
No.
He's good.
I don't remember him.
No, he's good.
Yeah, but... Thiago Alves 15-11 in the UFC. Tim Means 10-8. Both of them coming off that loss. Both of them got a knack for the knockout. I don't know. This one's kind of tough. So maybe you should pick first. Fuck it. I'm gonna go with Tim Means.
Give me Pitbull.
Oh my gosh. This dude is swinging for the fucking fences, bro. Slim is shooting from the fucking hip, not even aiming right now.
I don't spray and pray, I aim and fire.
So, Slim is going with the +200 underdog, Thiago Alves. I'm going with the +255 favorite, or I'm sorry, the -255 favorite, Tim Means.
It's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
In the next one, we got Rob Font going up against Ricky Simone.
Oh, man. This one's a really interesting fight as well.
I love this fight.
Oh, and that was the preliminary card. That last one was the preliminary card on ESPN.
Gotcha.
Now we're moving on to the main card, which will feature 6 fights going into the first one.
Yeah.
Bantamweight division. Rob Font.
Yeah, Ricky Simone. Ricky's got a lot of hair. No, I like this one a lot. Rob Font coming off a win against Sergio Pettis. Unanimous decision back in the day. It was Sergio's first fight up at 135, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Going up against Ricky Simon. He took a loss against Uriah Faber back. What was that, June, July?
That was in 4 months ago. That's, I don't know, I'm not good with
August months. Or something like that. Me neither. But I gotta.
I think it's August.
I literally have to go like the song I learned in kindergarten in my head to figure out.
January, February,
March, and April, May, June, and July. Yeah. I gotta play that and then count on my fingers. Because I'm like, oh yeah, seven.
Yeah. No, I don't know that shit.
It was in the middle. Anyway. So, Ricky Simon.
Coming off a loss, getting a fight against number 10.
Yeah.
Just shows how, like, they want him in the top 10.
Yeah, but he was a heavy favorite to beat Uriah Faber.
Right.
And he was on a three-fight win streak in the UFC before that. And a, geez, what is that? Eight-fight win streak overall. His last loss before that was back in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So, trying to make something big happen here against Rob Font.
Very 6-3 in the UFC, 16-4 overall.
Yeah, very interesting fight. I believe there's a big difference in height in these guys. Not only 2 inches.
Yeah. Rob Font does also have the 2.5-inch reach advantage.
Yeah.
Looking at how they get it done, both these guys like getting the knockout. Both have 40 or better percent knockout rates. Rob Font does have a knack for getting the submission as well, whereas Ricky Simon can outlast U.S. 53% of his wins by decision.
It's almost been a year since Rob Font fought.
Both of Ricky Simon's losses are by stoppage. He's been knocked out and submitted, whereas Rob Font's been submitted once. Ricky Simon doesn't really, as I said, he only has one submission, so I don't think that's going to be how he will be getting this done. He's going to have to try taking Rob Font the entire three rounds. Rob Font definitely puts out a better striking rate. He lands almost 5 strikes per minute to Ricky Simon's almost 2.5. So almost doubling him right there. And then he has a better strike differential as well. He absorbs almost less than Ricky Simon. Ricky Simon, though, averages 6.6 takedowns per 15 minutes.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive through his first 4 fights. He has 52% takedown accuracy, 73% takedown defense. But, like I said, Rob Font's pretty good with his submissions, so maybe he'll be looking to get that done. We've seen Ricky Simon get submitted before. I think if it does go to the ground like that, Rob Font might be crafty enough to get a submission. But Ricky Simon could also handle him on the ground. Well, maybe possibly just try controlling him the whole time. But I don't know. We'll have to see on that one. But yeah, Rob Font is coming off that 357-day layoff, which is the longest of his 8-year career, alternating wins and losses in his past 5 fights. He won his most recent one, so is he going to get a loss on this one? He does have 5 stoppage victories, though, in bantamweight division, which is tied for 5th most in divisional history, behind only TJ Dillashaw, Uriah Faber, Marlon Vera, and Pedro Munhoz. And he also has 4 knockout victories in the bantamweight division, which are tied for 3rd most in divisional history, behind only TJ Dillashaw and Eddie Wineland. So, with all that being said, I'm going to go with Rob Font.
Ricky Simon.
ANA MMA going to disagree again. Have we disagreed on more fights than we've agreed on?
Yes. Maybe the same.
Yeah, it's about, I don't know. I think we've disagreed on 4 and agreed on 3. So yeah, Slim's going with Ricky Simon. I'm going with Rob Font. Rob Font is currently sitting as the -150 favorite over the +120 underdog Ricky Simon. So I'm going with all the underdogs, fam. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Probably not in this one, though. This is a huge fight in the bantamweight division. We got Cody, Spartan, Stamman going up against Song Yadong.
This shit's crazy.
The 22-year-old Japanese prospect.
He's Chinese.
Chinese prospect.
Number 13 versus number 10.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like Slim said, only 22 years old. He will have a 2-inch height advantage over Cody Stamann, and he will also have a 2.5-inch reach advantage over Cody Stamann.
Honestly, though, this is a huge test because Cody Stamann was supposed to be, like, the next big thing, like, behind Volkanovski, mm-hmm. and then he ran into Aljamain Sterling and lost.
Right.
But he was on a... God, I don't even know. 1, 2, 3, like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 fight winning streak before that. And he just beat Alejandro Perez.
Yeah, but so did Song Yadong, and he knocked him out.
True.
Cody Stamann took Alejandro Perez to decision.
True. Yeah, Cody... Or,
that was both last year.
Yeah, Song Yadong is on a 7-fight winning streak right now.
Yeah.
Most of them by finish.
Right. He has 5 knockouts, 3 submissions, and then 6 decisions. So
kid is so accurate.
Right. 8 of his 6 wins are by stoppage. Meanwhile, 8 of Cody Stamann's 18 wins are by stoppage. So
big thing for this will be can Song Yadong keep Cody Stamann on the feet? Can he avoid the takedowns?
Right, because Cody Stamann is going to be shooting the entire time, looking for that takedown. But Song Yadong right now 4-0 in the UFC. Cody Stamann 4-1. It's going to be a straight shootout. And when you look at the Cody Stamann lands more strikes than Song Yadong too.
The Song finishes
it's
quick.
It's pretty close with the strike differential when you look at it. Song Yadong only has a plus 0.2 strike differential advantage. And he's more accurate on his takedowns, and in his four UFC fights, he has not been taken down. He has 100% takedown defense.
Really?
Yeah. And he can possibly look for that submission. He's tried it before in his fights. So with all that being said, I'm going with the streaking fighter. Gimme Song Yadong.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with the 22-year-old Song Yadong.
Yeah, boy.
If you can smell what the Rock is cooking, brother.
What? Will you say that all night tonight? Will that just be your catchphrase?
What? You
can you smell what the Rock is cooking, brother?
Yeah, I'll say it.
Dope. All right, so into this next fight. Very interesting one as well. We got Aspen Ladd going up against Yana Kunitskaya.
Yeah, Aspen Ladd returning off her first loss ever.
And her suspension.
Right.
So she was cleared to fight. She said in the last fight, her weight cut was really abrupt and quick. I guess she did not have enough time to prepare, but in this one she had like 5 months to prepare.
Yeah.
So that was exactly what she needed. And she made weight today. She weighed in at 136.
Right.
So good for Aspen Ladd. I'm glad she's healthy going into this. I watched her in an interview yesterday, I think, and with Luke Thomas, and she seemed fine. She did. Nice. She wasn't like angry or agitated or anything. She seemed okay. So
good
for her for making weight healthfully.
She's 8-1 overall, 3-1 in the UFC. Both of these ladies, I'm sorry, Yana Kunitskaya is 12-4-0 with 1 no contest, 2-1 in the UFC. So both of these ladies fought Tanya Evinger. So Aspen Ladd TKO'd Tanya Evinger.
Wow. Just ran through Tanya Evinger.
Yana Kunitskaya got submitted by Tanya Evinger.
Yeah.
And then both these ladies fought Lena Landsberg. Aspen Ladd TKO'd Lena Landsberg, whereas Yana Kunitskaya only took her to decision.
Really?
So that's kind of something to watch. But Yana Kunitskaya, of her 12 wins, 7 of them by knockout, 1 submission, the others by decision. Aspen Ladd as well. She likes 62% of her wins are by knockout. So both of these ladies, like Yana likes doing it on the feet. Aspen Ladd will take you to the ground and kind of give you the ground and pound until she gets TKO.
Yeah.
Both of these ladies have been knocked out. Yana Kunitskaya has been submitted before, and she's lost by decision. Very, very close when you look at the significant strike numbers. And then when you look at the grappling, Yana Kunitskaya actually averages more takedowns per 15 minutes than Aspen Ladd.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's pretty weird. But Aspen Ladd is much more accurate. And in her entire UFC career, 3 fights, Yana Kunitskaya has not been able to defend 1 takedown.
Oof.
0%.
Oof.
So Aspen Ladd might be looking to do some ground and pound here in this fight. I'm going to have to go with Aspen Ladd in this one.
I think Aspen Ladd is going to take a page out of Holly Holm's book and do exactly what she did. Take her down, pound her out.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Aspen Ladd.
Aspen Ladd.
Aspen Ladd.
Do you follow her on Instagram? She's got the coolest dogs in the
world.
Oh,
yeah. Her dogs are super cute. I love me some huskies.
So cool. The one's like 14 years old, too.
Damn.
And he's still running through the woods and shit.
That's because he's running through the woods and shit.
He's in his natural habitat.
Right.
All right. Going on this next fight. A bit of a, I wouldn't say legend, but definitely some heavyweight, I don't know, what would you call him?
Who is it?
Stephen Struve, Ben Rothwell.
And Stephen Struve?
Long-standing heavyweight contenders. We'll say that, I guess. So Stephen Struve had initially retired last year, I believe, after his win over, it was earlier this year, it was in February, over his win over Fathead De Lima. He got him in an arm triangle choke, but yeah, he retired. He said,
"I thought he
was that."
No, it was
that
after he lost. Stephen Struve got his shit whacked, I thought, and then he retired. Or am I tripping?
I don't think so because he only had like 4 months between all of his fights.
Huh? I guess I'm tripping.
Yeah, I think it was after this one because that was back in February. But
oh yeah, you're right.
But he got the itch and he started to want to come back, and now he has a big test against Big Ben Rothwell here. Both fighters weighed in today. 265. Back in the day, Stephen Struve used to only weigh like 240 because he was just a kid,
right.
Super skinny. But now he's grown into his man body. He's 31 now, and yeah, he is put on some muscle. That's exactly what he's always needed to do.
Right.
And this is going to be interesting. Stephen Struve is 7 foot tall. He's got an 84.5-inch reach advantage. The only
84.5-inch reach advantage.
84.5-inch.
Oh my gosh.
He's fighting Nick Newell.
No. No. No.
Too much.
I feel like you were like saving that for the perfect time.
I wasn't. I was just thinking like, holy shit, Ben's got no arms. And I was like, oh.
Oh, no.
That was a low hanging fruit. Oh. Oh.
That is so bad. That is so bad.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Wow. All right.
All right.
Fuck.
I mean, but if he was fighting him, he would, but.
Oh my god.
Anyway, Big Ben, to his credit, has got an 80-inch reach. So only a 4.5-inch reach advantage on this. But the height is insane. Ben's only 6'4". He's going to tower over him.
Yeah.
Big Ben on a 3-fight losing streak at the moment. He lost against Junior Dos Santos back in 2016. Popped for some crazy drug. I don't remember. I guess he saw to find him innocent, but he still served 2 years. Came back and lost against Blagoy Ivanov.
Blah, 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 blah.
And... blur, 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 blur. And blur, 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 blur.
Wait, what haven't we talked about?
We talked about Blagoy Ivanov, Ben Rothwell losing. Sorry, the audio cut out and I tried to hop back in.
But why? Neither of them fought Blagoy Ivanov.
Ben did. He just lost against him in March.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, and... yeah, so then you talked about their common opponents,
yeah.
All of which Stephen Struve had lost to.
Yeah, Andre Arlovsky, who Ben Rothwell lost to twice. Alistair Overeem, who Ben Rothwell beat. Mark Hunt, who Ben Rothwell lost to.
Mark Hunt.
Roy Nelson, who Ben Rothwell beat. And Junior Dos Santos, who they both lost to.
Look at him, he's giving him noogies.
Okay, so this shit is fucking crazy. Out of Ben Rothwell's 36 fights,
mm-hmm.
only 3 of them he's won by decision.
Really?
Yeah. 20 what? Knockouts, 13 submissions.
I didn't know Ben was knocking him like that.
Straight up knocking him. Meanwhile, Stephen Struve, of his 28 wins, only 2 of them by decision. 18 by submission,
oh, yeah.
8 by knockout.
He's a sub guy.
So, honestly, I feel like this fight, stoppage.
For sure.
I feel like there's a stoppage in this fight.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's going to be a tough one, though. I don't know. Striking stats go in favor to Stephen Struve. Ground game is going to be in favor of Ben Rothwell. Who's
really?
I think so.
Oh, I thought you were factually saying that.
No,
like
I think...
stat-wise.
No, they're pretty split. Ben Rothwell has more takedowns per 15 minutes. He doesn't have as good takedown accuracy as Struve, but he has better takedown defense. Gotcha. And Stefan Struve puts up more submissions per 15 minutes. But Ben Rothwell has been doing like jiu-jitsu matches lately. So,
oh, okay.
I don't know. I feel like that might be helping him all out on the ground.
For sure. Has to, because you know Struve's going to try to take an arm and take it with him.
But Ben's a purple belt and Stefan's a brown belt, so Stefan's higher, right?
Yes.
I'm going to go with, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to go with Stefan Struve.
Same.
Slim and I are going with the underdog on this one. We're going with the plus 105 underdog, Stefan Struve. Ben Rothwell is the minus 135 favorite. I don't like that one too much, though, for real.
Nah. All right. On to the co-main event, we have Cynthia Calvillo, who missed weight by like
a lot.
Fucking 4.5
After
pounds.
Was she talking all that shit this week?
Was she? I didn't see it.
Oh, she was talking shit about Paige VanZant, who's her ex-roommate. She was talking hella shit about
how she's
about to be the champ. MMA junkie, I think.
Oh. Well, not if you keep missing weight, bud. But she's taking on undefeated Marina Rodriguez.
Yes.
Rodriguez is only 3 fights deep in the UFC. She won on the Contender Series. I believe that was a Brazilian edition. One of them was a draw and 2 wins in her couple recent fights this year.
She beat Tisha Torres in her last fight.
I know. Well, a lot of people beat Tisha Torres recently, but...
Oh, Slim's talking shit!
But for someone lower down the rankings, yes, that is a big...
Marina Rodriguez does have a 3-inch... height and reach advantage as well. She's ranked 1 higher than Cynthia Calvillo. Remember we were so high on Cynthia Calvillo when she came in?
Everyone was. And she got suspended for weed and then came back and just wasn't the same.
Yeah, but she's 5-1 in the UFC. Marina Rodriguez, as you mentioned, is 2-0-1.
Can you put a little more phlegm on that one?
50-50 when it comes to stoppage rates for Marina Rodriguez. She has 5 knockouts, 1 submission, 6 decisions. And then Cynthia, on the other hand, she has 5 wins by stoppage out of her 8 victories, 3 by submission, 2 by KO. Neither of these women have been stopped. Obviously, Rodriguez is unbeaten, and Cynthia Calvillo, in her 1 loss, that was by decision. Grappling stats all going to Cynthia Calvillo.
Yeah.
If she can get this fight on the ground, which she's going to be looking to do, she's going to control it, and she's going to use a lot of ground and pound. Rodriguez, though, has an 84% takedown defense. She's not easy to take down. They thought that's what Tisha Torres was going to do, and she wasn't able to do that. But on the feet, I mean, Marina Rodriguez, pretty advanced for the division. She has a 6.1 strike. Or I'm sorry, she lands 6.1 strikes per minute. She only absorbs 3, so that's good for a +3.1 strike differential to Cynthia Calvillo's 0.3. She's going to try keeping this fight on the feet the entire time. She's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belt. She's a Muay Thai dark blue black tip, which has to be above a black belt, bro.
Something heavy.
Yeah. Shit. This is going to be a crazy fight, honestly. Oh, I don't know. Some you pick.
I'm gonna go with Rodriguez. I don't like that Calvillo missed weight by that much. That means something went wrong. And Rodriguez has 1 inch of height and, or 2 inches of height and 1 inch of reach, so she will be the bigger woman.
I'm torn. Give me Marina Rodriguez.
Nice.
I think you got a point there with the missed weight, and I don't know if Cynthia Calvillo can't get those takedowns. And like I said, Rodriguez has really good takedown defense. She's in for a long night.
Yeah. Well, I thought Calvillo was fighting 125 though. Has it always been 115?
I thought so. I thought so.
Must be.
But, yeah, ANA MMA going with the unbeaten Marina Rodriguez.
dude, I played Darren. I was at his house the other night. And he bought that one game, I forget what it's called, where you like put the spacer in your mouth. You just gotta go.
I'm actually pretty good at that game.
Me too. It was not that hard. Like if you just force hard enough, you can get like the syllables out.
Except and for just bees. Say it slow and use facial expressions.
Yeah, you can't. Bees though, bees were so hard. But like he bought the adult expansion, so it was like
big butthole blowouts.
Yeah, literally like just like male prostate. Protruding,
oh gosh,
punctuentially, and it was just like, what the fuck? Like, it was so hard. Nuts.
On to the main event.
Good transition. So, as I mentioned, Alistair Overeem taking on Jairzinho Rozenstruik.
Is he not ranked?
Yeah, he's number 14.
Oh, nice. Barely.
Shit, Alistair's barely ranked.
He's number 6.
I know, but I guess he did beat Olenek. And yeah. Sergey Pavlovich.
Yeah, bro. He's on a 2-fight win streak,
Alistair's still in this. Alistair's still in this. But Jairzinho is on a 9-fight winning streak. He's undefeated, boy. And they've all been knockout except for one. He did go to split decision back in 2018.
Yeah.
Jesus. They've all... Dude, he's got a minute 50 seconds combined in his UFC time in the cage. That is absolutely insane for someone to come in here with 3 knockouts in their UFC debut and barely even spend any time in there. This is reminiscent of Ngannou at this point.
Ngannou.
Jairzinho's only 31. I believe his kickboxing record was, what, 70 and 5?
Like 76 and 4 or something.
Yeah, something absolutely ridiculous. Why do you spend that much time at kickboxing? Like,
that's not too long.
Was he getting paid? Like,
they fight a lot. Quicker in kickboxing.
Was he getting paid though?
Probably not.
I don't know. But obviously we know what Jairzinho does on the feet. we've only really ever seen him in any sort of trouble at all against Albini, who pushed him up against the cage and that's all he got to do.
Right.
So we have no idea what Jairzinho's ground game is looking like. Overeem, we know what his bread and butter is. He's also a kickboxer. I don't know what his record is. Do you?
No. My laptop's dead now.
Use your phone. Google it real quick.
Okay.
So, Alistair, like I said, the kickboxer, we know he's going to want to keep it on the feet, as he's shown in his last two. But actually, his last two wins came by ground and pound, so he got him down to the ground somehow. I just don't remember how, to be honest.
His kickboxing record is 10-4 with 3 losses by knockout.
Are you serious?
No jokes were told in the...
God damn it. I thought it was way more than that. No, I thought he was in kickboxing for a minute. Huh.
He lost to Badr Hari, Remy Bojaski, and a couple people.
That's fucking Bojaski.
He did beat Gokhan Saki, though, and Peter Aerts. Oh, and wow. Tyrone Spong. Nice.
Nice.
He's got a couple of good wins.
Yeah. Anyway, Alistair Overeem 45-17 with 1 no contest. And Jairzinho, only 9 fights.
Right.
Holy crap. Yikes.
I definitely know who I'm picking in this one, Slim. So
I know who I'm picking.
I'll let you go first.
It's Biggie Boy.
Oh, he's going with Jairzinho.
It's Biggie Boy, boy. Oh,
I feel that Jairzinho is the man. He's definitely extremely, extremely talented. But I feel like Alistair is going to do enough to neutralize him on the feet. And if it does go to the ground, Biggie Boy is going to get exposed by Alistair Overeem.
Nice.
I'm going with the Ream.
Oh.
ANA MMA going to disagree on the main event. I'm going with Alistair Overeem. Slim is going with Jairzinho Rozenstruik.
Wow. Wow.
That's a lot of disagreements, Slim. That's an uncomfortable amount of disagreements.
I don't even know what we disagreed on, and I'm going to have to listen back.
So to wrap up the disagreements between Slim and I here, we both got Mahmoud Muradov. Slim's going with Mallory Martin. I'm going with Verna Jandaroba. We're both going with Joe Selecki. We're both going with Bryce Mitchell. Slim's going with Jacob Kilburn. I'm going with Billy Quarantillo. Slim's going with Thiago Alves. I'm going with Tim Means. Slim's going with Ricky Simone. I'm going with Rob Font.
We're both going with Song Yadong over Cody Stamen. We're both going with Aspen Ladd over Yana Kunitskaya. We're both going with Stefan Struve, right?
Yes.
Over Ben Rothwell. We're both going with Marina Rodriguez over Cynthia Calvillo. And Slim's going with Jairzinho Rozenstruik. And I'm going with Alistair Overeem.
Wow.
You could have a huge-ass turnaround. I'm pretty sure it's a pick 'em, too, in the main event.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
Okay.
And then I think Marina Rodriguez was the favorite, and that's where I wasn't able to do odds anymore. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going on to list number four.
Can I pack a bowl first? Jeez, man.
Yeah, you can like, take a fuck. Little, take a little breaky break.
Thank you.
So we'll be back. We're going to take a little breaky break and come back with list number four, our top five favorite fighters of all time.
Yeah.
My mom. Someone get him a straitjacket, put him in a padded cell. He's off the walls. Wacky. Loopy.
Fucking losing my shit, man.
Little, you know.
I'm losing my shit, man. I don't know what's going on, man.
Oh, find it.
Let me suck your dick for $2, man.
All right. Okay. We're back.
So, Slim, what are you doing? Taking a shot of Jaeger for your B-Day tonight?
Oh, not if I don't have to.
Oh, you're taking a shot of Jaeger.
Why Jaeger?
Or that Yoo-hoo, that the spiked Yoo-hoo.
Ew. I mean, I'll try it.
Which one?
Not
Ooh,
Jaeger.
Ooh, what if I like get you a Jaeger bomb of that?
Ew.
That'd be fucked.
This is in my stomach churn, and I haven't even tried the beer yet.
Yeah, that'd be pretty ruthless.
Yuck. Ugh. I'm not trying to throw up. I'm trying to go there and eat a bunch.
Do you have anything in mind on what you want to eat? Any BLT?
The leading
candidate, yeah, front runner.
And then right. I want to go get some tacos from Dead Kitchen.
Nice.
If you never, if you're in Akron and you haven't heard of Dead Kitchen yet, go to Barmacy. They just started selling food to a bunch of our homies.
Akron, Ohio. You know, there's other Akrons in other states.
You're right. 330. They started a kitchen in Barmacy, and they have awesome burgers. The Elote one, dude. I showed you that one. Ridiculous. You got to try that.
I love elotes. I make great elotes.
But it's like chorizo beef mix with corn salsa on top, queso, and jalapenos.
Oh, wow.
And then they dust the fucking bread with Parmesan cheese.
Oh, wow.
It's ridiculous.
That sounds pretty ridiculous.
It's absolutely insane. But yeah, very good. Dead Kitchen.
They got baked pasta nights every Tuesday at Zub's now.
Really?
Yeah. With garlic bread.
Are they good?
I don't know. I haven't been there.
Oh, you haven't been there.
I haven't been to baked pasta.
Ah, gotcha. All right.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Well, we're going with a list.
Our top five. Slim thought it was our goats this week. As we've been saying, that'll be the 100th episode. So this week we decided to do our top five favorite fighters of all time. Who went first last week?
I don't know.
I think I did.
I don't know.
I think I did.
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's go.
All right. Best two out of three?
Just one.
Just one? Shoot.
One and done. One and done.
Shoot.
One, two, three, go.
Shoot.
Yeah. Shoot. 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 This is how men handle. This is how men handle their differences, folks.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Fuck. All right.
So I go first.
I I knew you were going to do that too. I was reading your mind. I'd see it all in your eyes.
Whatever, whatever.
Okay.
All right, so we're starting with number five. I don't got any ties this week either.
All right.
Do you?
No.
Okay. It was hard too because a lot of fighters have sentimental value to me.
Sentimental value?
I slimmed it down to my top five. I numbered them. I put a lot of thought into this, so here we go. My number five favorite fighter of all time. This is my personal favorite. This isn't like they're the best. This is just like I like who they are. I think they're cool. All right, number five. I got to start with a local fighter. Not like local, but when he was on his meteoric rise, there was no fighter that I got more hyped up to watch than Cody Garbrandt.
Oh.
His run takes me back to like a much more simpler time in ANA MMA history.
Yeah.
Like back then, I remember I was just in Taylor's basement, like just watching, like getting hyped for Cody Garbrandt fights. Like that was like before, like I even had anybody to watch. I didn't even know if people watched UFC. I was just like, I did the shit by myself.
Right.
But yeah, obviously, you know, he's struggled as of late. He has three straight knockout losses, but he stepped away from the game. He has his young daughter now, and I'm excited to see when he does come back.
My homie, I worked with at Lowe's. Did you see my Snapchat and my Instagram story?
The one where the dog dude and the cats? Got a snowball?
No, with the dogs and the cats?
No, I didn't see that.
Bro, his dog is like twice the size of yours.
Wow.
In the face. Yikes. Big dog. And he's got Maine Coons.
Maine Coons?
One Maine Coon.
What's a Maine Coon?
Big ass cat.
Oh.
Has ears like with the black tip like a lynx.
Oh, yeah.
Big ass cat. Huge. Anyway, his sister used to date Cody.
Oh, that's fun.
Back in the day.
Cody Garbrandt used to date somebody from Mogador, too. I forget which little thotty that was.
Oh, he drove an hour and a half for that.
Yeah, but anyways. His accomplishments were amazing, dude. He won the UFC Bantamweight Championship after just 11 professional fights. Only six of those fights were in the UFC. He won the championship in stunning fashion when he was just the second fighter ever to beat Dominick Cruz. And he did it with such flair and style.
Oh, I still go back and watch that fight all the time.
Yeah, that was one of the craziest performances ever, bro.
Yeah.
He's just one of the most stone cold, like aggressive fighters in all the UFC. Like do or die, Cody Garbrandt goes for it all. That's why he comes in number five on my list. My favorite Cody Garbrandt moment ever. A lot of people would think it was the dismantling of Dom Cruz. But my favorite moment was when I was in Taylor's basement. When I just remember, like, it's when he was just first coming up, like, and I knew he was from around here and shit, you know, like, so I was, like, watching him and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just so hyped, and, like, I stayed up super late one night, and I watched when he fought Thomas Almeida.
Oh.
And he was, like, kind of, like, unknown at that point.
That was a huge fight, because Almeida was only like, had one loss
yeah,
at the time.
Yeah, and people, like, thought he was the man coming up. Like, people thought Thomas Almeida was about to be the shit, and he just fucking destroyed him, knocked him out. So, yeah, that was just, like, kind of a personal, special moment for me. And also, a fun fact, I did the roof on Cody Garbrandt's middle school that he attended.
I remember that. You told me that.
In Yorksville, Ohio.
Huh.
So, Cody Garbrandt, number five on my list.
All right. My number five is someone who has been in the UFC a very long time. I watched him in the WEC before they merged.
Okay.
It's Donald Cowboy Cerrone.
Oh, wow. Cowboy, nice.
Cowboy. So,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. So, like I said, I used to watch the WEC back when it was on Fuel TV, I believe.
Yeah.
I remember watching Brian Bowles get the belt, and then Dominick Cruz took it from him. I remember the fights he had with Benson Henderson, where he almost got the belt but never did.
Yeah.
Just all those fights at the lower weight classes that we never really got to see in the UFC. And then once they did the merger, boy, Cowboy came in on some shit. Cowboy went on a 1, 2, 3, 4 fight winning streak, and then he lost to Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
Won two more times, lost Anthony Pettis.
Yeah.
Won one, lost one, and then went on a 8 fight winning streak to get back to the belt. Now, he never did get a belt. He lost to RDA twice, both times. The second time in the first round, unfortunately. But then he went up to welterweight.
Yeah.
Tony! he started taking lives.
Right.
I just watched his fight with Rick Story the other day when he did that four-piece combo with the head kick at the end.
That shit. That's beautiful. Probably like the best combo in like the history of the UFC.
Beautiful.
Like, honestly.
Like, you're telling me this man can do it at two different divisions and look like be very successful?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
amazing. Yeah. So then he went on like several losses in a row. Went back down to lightweight after win over Mike Perry and just dismantled Anthony Hernandez and Ally Aquina.
Right.
Insane. Now, people say going into this Conor fight that, he's on two losses. Like, okay, like he was losing against Tony and it was a doctor stoppage. You know, it's not like.
Yeah, right.
It's not like you horribly got knocked out.
Yeah.
Justin Gaethje won, he definitely did. But, so for me, he's only on like a one fight losing streak, really. I mean, he would have lost against decision and Tony, you know, whatever. It's not that big a deal. Yeah. So I still think Tony or Cowboy is going to have a excellent fight against McGregor, and the fact that everything has led up to this point, you know, all his accomplishments, most wins in UFC history, most finishes in UFC history, most post fight bonuses,
right?
Tied with Jim Miller for the most bouts, tied with Sam Alvey for the most bouts in a 12-month period at six.
Crazy.
Six fights in a year.
Crazy.
Nuts. Just crazy. So I love Cowboy Cerrone.
What's your favorite Cowboy Cerrone moment?
My favorite Cowboy moment. I would say when he knocked out Charles Oliveira.
Ooh.
Because that was a big one. That was like one of Oliveira's first fights in the UFC.
Really? I feel like I don't remember that.
And Cowboy knocked his ass out. That was back in 2011.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a big fight.
Good throwback.
Yeah.
All right, so number five on Slim's list, Donald Cowboy Cerrone. All right, number four. For me, my list is so weird, Slim. I don't know. It's just a weird list. Number four for me, Mirko Krokop.
Okay.
The Croatian cop lands at number four on my list.
Croatian
and the
cop?
reason why my love for Mirko Krokop started, UFC Undisputed, the video game. I wasn't like super into MMA really at that time, but I fucking love that video game, dude.
So good.
And I
played the shit out of that career mode.
Oh, yeah. One of the most OP weapons in like the entire game, Mirko Krokop's head kicks, bro. Like, I can't
tell. He had the axe kick. Like, I never even seen him throw that in a fight except for in Pride. Yeah. But then he would just like come up and just.
Dude, I can't tell you how many times I virtually beat Jorge Masvidal's fastest UFC knockout record with fucking Mirko Krokop, bro. Just coming out and literally giving people one kick to the head and it's over. I mean, in real life, too, he was one of the funnest fighters to watch. I mean, right leg hospital, left leg cemetery. Come on, bro. He ended his fight, of course, on a 10-fight win streak. He has legendary knockouts over the likes of King Mo, Gabriel Gonzaga, Choi Hung Man, Vanderlei, Mark Coleman. I mean, many, many more, dude. He has some amazing. His highlight reel is one of the best in MMA. One of the best strikers to ever watch. Krokop comes in fourth on my list of favorite fighters. My most memorable Krokop moment, besides the infinite amount of knockouts I virtually had with him, if I had to pick a real life moment, I did love his fight when he fought Dos Caras. The dude who's about to come back and fight fucking Tito. The dude who wore the mask and he fucking hit him with the head kick.
The blood
kick.
Was dripping down. Did you hear that on Joe Rogan's podcast?
No.
They just talked about that.
Really? That's funny.
He got knocked out and apparently blood was pouring from his mask.
Oh, dude. It was that fucking fight was just so weird. Like,
I've never seen it.
It was just one of the most like freaky matchups in Pride history. Like, but yeah, number four on my list, Mirko Krokop.
Nice. I like it. All right, you ready for my number four?
I am. Let's do it.
This man had a win streak that I don't think anyone today in his division will be able to recreate. This man is the number 7 pound-for-pound fighter in the world right now, which I think he should be a little higher.
He's on my honorable mentions. I know that.
It's Max Bless Holloway.
Hell yeah.
So Max Holloway came on the scene. He was only 7-2 when he fought Conor McGregor back in 2013. This is when Conor just started his uprising.
Yeah.
And in that fight, Conor tore his ACL. They both got beat up and battered. But then just watching his rise, dude, when he beat Andre Feely, when he beat Cole Miller, Cub Swanson, Charles Oliveira, Jeremy Stevens, Ricardo Lamas, like just watching Max go through all these contenders for to form an 11 fight winning streak was absolutely insane.
Just nuts.
Nuts. And then the way he knocked out Jose Aldo.
Who would have thought?
Third round both times, like, in pretty much the same fashion.
Right.
Nuts. That's the best featherweight of all time. And you just had your way with him. You knew what you're going to do. He was he showboats in the cage because he's confident.
Yeah.
Recently, I went back and saw a GIF that I didn't even know happened in the Brian Ortega fight.
Yeah.
In the fourth round. He grabbed Brian Ortega's wrists and held him up, showing, like, this is how you block.
Yeah, he, like, kind of showed... I thought he showed him how to throw, like, a... Like, he was like, throw it like this. Like,
yeah.
Throw your 1-2 like this. Boom, boom.
Something like that.
Yeah. That shit's crazy, bro.
He made a mockery of people.
Yeah, literally.
And he went up and had Dustin Poirier in trouble.
Right.
Several times.
Yeah, that's a crazy fight.
That is insane.
To go up to the next weight division and fight, I mean, one of the best, top three.
On top of that, outside of the cage, he got a line in Drake's album.
Right.
On Scorpion.
Right.
He got all this OVO merch when he went up and fought in Canada. He loves fighting in Canada.
Yeah.
Then... on some super duper petty shit, when Conor started talking about coming back, he took a trip to Dublin to visit the Jameson distillery.
Distillery, yeah.
Whoa. Like, Max is the truth.
He's an amazing father.
Yes. He's a great father. Rush comes everywhere with him.
Yeah.
That dude's the man.
Yeah, right.
Like,
super cool kid.
Dude, I love Max Holloway.
What's your favorite Max Holloway moment?
Favorite Max Holloway moment. Honestly, probably the one where he beat Ortega. That was the one that cemented it for me, because he reached over to Joe and said, I'm finishing him in this round.
Yeah.
Then it went to the end, but then the judges called it at the end of the fourth round.
And like, he was like, I tried.
The doctor called it, and he jumped over the cage and said, hey, man, I said I was going to finish him this round. I was this close. Like, that was so cool for me. You're calling your shots and when you're going to finish guys now.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Max Holloway.
He's definitely forever one of the best of all time.
I will let you know now, he's not on my list, but he is definitely like, he was very, very close. Like, he is right there in my very close honorable mentions.
Has to be.
All right. So, number three on my list.
I like how you're standing up.
I feel like I gotta get a little walking going here.
Get a little walking going.
Boy, you already know who the fuck was about to be on my list, Slim. I've been riding with Teruto Ishihara since day one. Oh,
dear.
Like, since his beginning UFC days, dog. Unfortunately, of course, he's no longer with the UFC. He lost 5 of his last 6, but...
I love my bitches!
When it comes to personalities in mixed martial arts, Yashabo is one of the funnest people to follow. Stylistically, like, in and out of the cage... not too many people have more swag than Teruto. Like, he is just a different man. He has the famous line, like Slim said, I love my bitches. He said that in a post-fight interview. He just lives like a super fun lifestyle. He recently moved back to Japan from Sacramento as well. He seems to be training every day with the guys there, and he seems to be pretty focused. So as far as I know, you know, he's still a free agent. I don't know if he signed with anybody, but... what an absolutely amazing addition to Bellator or Ryzen Teruto Ishihara would be. I think he would fit in with either of those promotions.
One.
Yeah, one even. I mean, any of those, he would fit in absolutely perfectly. So I'll continue to follow and update you guys on the career of my number three favorite fighter of all time, Teruto Yashabo Ishihara. My favorite Teruto Ishihara moment is in his third UFC fight. He had that super crazy left hand, like, straight KO over Horacio Gutierrez. And I was, like, in Johnny J's. And, like, there was nobody there. I was just, like, there with Taylor. And I was literally running around the bar like, oh, like, acting like my brother was on TV, just got a knockout, bro. Like, I was just going crazy.
I love it.
That's just my dude, bro. Like, I've been riding with him since the beginning. Yashabo for life. My number three favorite fighter.
All right. I like it. My number three. Favorite fighter of all time. This man has been in a lot of controversy lately. This man has been in the news. This man has been worldwide.
Oh, man.
This man is coming back.
He
to fight my number five.
He had a big role in A&A MMA, didn't he?
He had a big role in MMA. He's the reason we are here today doing this podcast.
Facts.
Recording as we speak. He's the reason we're as good of friends as we are.
Facts.
It's Conor McGregor.
Yep.
I will never forget Conor McGregor when he fought Nate Diaz. We're at the bar. I hadn't talked to you in a year, maybe.
Probably.
Something like that. Maybe on Twitter. But I sat next to you and we watched that go down. We watched Nate Diaz choke out Conor. Oh, my God. We didn't know what to say. We didn't know what to do. We all picked Conor. Except for, like, Forrest and Alex King, maybe. I think they might have picked Nate. It was Johnny Jace.
No, that was the second fight.
No, we met at the first one.
No, the first fight I was at in Nate Gear's basement. I remember vividly.
Oh. Maybe we were talking shit on Twitter then.
Was AMMA not happening then?
No.
Oh.
No, this is back...
We were talking shit. We talk about MMA.
Yeah,
like,
we talked about it. But then on the second one, when the second one happened in August of 2016, that's when... I hit you up like, yo, bro, where are you watching this fight? Let's watch it together. And we went to Johnny J's. And we saw that. And we saw that go down. And we were so happy. And then literally within 2 months, I said, hey, man, I'm trying to start a podcast of my own. You want to do this?
And boom.
And boom. And you said, yeah.
A little baby AMMA was made.
Right. And here we are. And I remember... Sean and Paul saying Sean was like, well, as long as you don't fucking quit out within 2 weeks. And then Paul was like, here's your flyer for your podcast. It's only going to last 4 episodes. Look at us now, Paul. Where's your podcast, Paul? I'm kidding. Oh. I can't read. It's still going. They do it every week. But yeah, no, we haven't recorded every week, but we've been going. We're almost at 100 episodes now. It's been 2 years. It'll be 2 years in March, I think, right?
Something like that.
Something like that.
3 years or something.
Oh, God, will it be 3? Fuck.
Something like that.
Damn. Yeah, it will be 3 because it was 2017. That's crazy. So yeah.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, Conor McGregor was not only an influential part in me getting back into MMA and following it as passionately as I have, but just in like our come up, our friendship, our relationship that we built and done this almost every week to go over every single fight.
Yeah,
we don't just do the big ones like, oh yeah, so and so did this in the main event. No. We
unless
go over
it's Bellator.
Unless Bellator, but yeah, we go over every because Bellator is people that are like 1-5, and it's like, okay, great. What did they do? So, anyway, back to Conor himself. Conor was on a. Oh, I added this up and I forgot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 fight winning streak from his loss to Joe Duffy in 2010. From 2011 to 2015, he was undefeated. That is when he won the featherweight championship.
Facts, facts.
Biggest name in the sport, not Jose Aldo, in 13 seconds. No one has been able to even come close to that.
Well, I mean, Max Holloway got, like, within two
third
rounds.
Third round? Took him 12, 13 minutes? 3 rounds of it. Yeah.
2.5 rounds of it.
Yeah. But then he went on to lose that Nate Diaz fight, which was absolutely nuts. But he beat Nate Diaz. He beat Eddie Alvarez. He's the only fighter who could cross-promote into boxing and have the biggest pay-per-view of all time.
True.
Dude, absolutely insane. So Conor McGregor, regardless of the controversy and all that, there's no way I'm going to miss one of his fights. I don't think there's anything he can do at this point that will make... I wouldn't say that, but... but I will watch every one of Conor's fights. And that's why he's my number 3 of all time.
What's your favorite Conor McGregor moment?
Definitely. Either... Fuck. Probably that one post-fight press conference.
I want to apologize...
Or pre-fight press conference.
To absolutely fucking nobody.
That was a good one. Yeah, when he won the second belt, that was absolutely insane. But the pre-fight press conference, he was like, you signed to fight me. It's a celebration. You ring your wife. You tell her, baby, break out the red panties. Connor's made us rich, baby. It's a red panty night. And then he starts ragging on everyone. And then Jamie says, you know who the real hardest 145-pounder is right here? Who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, definitely
change trash talk for the entire sport.
Definitely the best personality in UFC history. I can also tell you, Conor McGregor is not on my top five list. But for the exact reasons you stated, he has a lot of sentimental value to me as well.
Yeah, and I'm not a Conor nut writer.
Yeah, no.
Like, he's not number one. He's my favorite fighter of all time. Like, no, he's got to be up there because I watched him come up and I watched him do what he did. He changed the trash talk way of the sport. He met a lot between, like, me and Monty's relationship. Like, for me, he means a lot to me.
Yeah, I agree. He's probably, like, I was really debating. Like, it's funny. Him and Max Holloway were, like, probably the two, like, closest ones to being on my list, and they didn't get on. But, I got a lot of different favorite fighters.
So. All
right. Now, number two on my list. You thought there wasn't going to be the greatest fighter to ever grace the beautiful land of Northeast Ohio?
Oh.
On my list? Stop it.
Oh.
Number two on my list is Jeff Hughes' sparring partner, Stipe Miocic. But seriously, how many memories do we have with this guy?
Oh, my God.
From the very first time we met him in Talmadge while we were watching Jeff Hughes fight before we even knew him.
At the Summit County Fairgrounds.
To us playing music at Jeff Hughes' wedding. And so Stipe can chug beers. Like, just like a lot
in
of...
In his purple suit.
Yeah, a lot of like real life, like amazing personal interactions.
That was 2 years in between that. That's crazy.
Exactly. Just some crazy personal interactions we've had with Stipe. As ANA MMA, that also has, you know, a crazy meaning with me and Slim's relationship. We fucking met the heavyweight champ.
Right.
Slim hitting him with the Mr. Goldenfold. My man. I'll never forget it.
When he set his beer down on my table with all my hundreds stuff, of dollars worth of equipment.
Slim's like, fuck it. you're awesome. But what an amazing person and what an amazing fighter. He really represents what we here in Northeast Ohio are all about. We go to work. We do what we need to do to support ourselves.
And he's an all-around Cleveland fan. Actually, I've never seen him rep Cavs stuff.
He does fuck with the Cavs as well.
Not recently, I don't think. But when LeBron was in there, though, he was partying with the Cavs in the fucking skybox at the Indians game. Yeah. That was sick.
You already know what it is. But yeah, he at the end of the day, you know, if you need your ass beat, we're about that shit.
You can stay and get your ass beat.
So we do here in Northeast Ohio. Yeah. But he has seen the struggle. But he has prevailed to become the greatest heavyweight fighter this world has ever seen. He loves the Browns. He loves the Cavaliers. He loves the Indians just like we do, like Slim said. And not to mention being the most accomplished heavyweight mixed martial artist of all time. I mean...
Most heavyweight title defenses
of all time. Like, the stats go on. Mm. The man is the greatest heavyweight that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
My most memorable Stipe moment as it relates to like fighting and not personal, because the personal would definitely be seeing him chug that beer to Thunderstruck,
knocking Cronus back or in the middle of four.
Or the first time we met him, that was pretty cool too.
Yeah. So such a humble guy. And he's a goddamn firefighter.
Right.
He's making $250K just to show to a UFC fight. He could have been retired from that job, and he still does 24 on 48 offs.
Yep.
And they make him scrub toilets.
What a mensch. What a mensch. Okay, Ariel. but my most memorable moment, if it relates to his fighting, when he won the championship in Cleveland... Over Fabricio Verdun.
I'm still mad we didn't go to that.
Threw up the OH, bro.
Still mad we didn't go to that.
I know. We fucked up.
He had the chant on the mic. He said, OH. And Joe was just sitting there like, holy shit.
But when he was on the fence, dude, and he did it. Oh, that shit was dope. What an amazing man and fighter. Number two on my list, Stipe Miocic.
Will you grab me my last beer out of there for this one? This next one I'm about to say. You didn't see this one coming. It's Stipe Miocic, the Croatian god. Bro, I remember watching Stipe come up, just when he, you know, just the back tat, that's about all he had. Who was one of the fights he fought? It was against, I think it was Philip DeFries. That was back on when UFC was on Fuel. Mm-hmm. When it was Diego Sanchez versus Jake Ellenberger. That's crazy. Oh, that was a huge fight back in the day. Like, that's crazy. that's wild. But yeah, when he fought him, I just remember they were both like similar stature, basically, and Stipe knocked him out. It was like, oh, I got to follow this guy. And then I found out he was from Cleveland. I was like, yep, that's the man. He's only lost 3 times in his whole career. Stefan Struve, which, no, he didn't get that one back. Junior Dos Santos, he did get that one back. And then Daniel Cormier, which he also got back. So if he fights 7 again, stop. Revenge all his losses. Yeah. Let's go. I hope he gets to fight Tyson Fury. Not because I think he's going to win, but because I think he deserves that payday.
Yeah, a lot of money.
I think he absolutely deserves it. That'd be
a huge crossover.
I think people count him out when you talk about a boxing crossover for him. He was a Golden Gloves champ.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's like Conor McGregor's like, oh, yeah, he's an MMA fighter, but he likes to keep it on the feet. No. Stevie was a Golden Gloves boxing champ.
Yeah.
That holds weight to that. But yeah, man, like you said, just all the thing, like the times we've got to meet him, the fact that we see all our friend, like not all of them, but like a lot of our friends post about him, like, right. Oh, I just ran into Stipe up in Cleveland. Like,
right.
It's so cool. I love to see it. I love everyone's passion for him and like their love for him.
Right.
Representing Northeast Ohio.
It's just
and
like it's like how we love our teams. You know right. what I'm saying? We love That's Stipe the
is.
Same way.
That's what it is. And if he ever fights in Cleveland again, God damn it, we're going.
Oh, we're front row.
We're front row. I'll spend any amount of money. Bitch. Any amount of money.
Yeah, I'm dropping a paycheck on that bitch.
I will drop
a couple paychecks on that
credit
bitch.
Credit card maximum on that. Yeah. I'm still mad we didn't see the first one, but man, Stipe, dude, he's the man. What else can you say about him
other than
what you said?
That's funny. I knew that was going to be our one similar one. Oh, yeah. And he was number two on
my list. He's a hometown hero, and he's a champ.
I'm interested to know who your number one is, Slim. You guess mine, I'll guess yours.
Guess?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
You can't, you don't have a clue?
Anderson Silva? I don't know. John Jones?
Oh my gosh, his face. That's hilarious. My favorite fighter of all time has never fought in the UFC.
Oh, he fucking got. Oh, Michael Bennett Page.
He's never fought in Pride. His style is one that MMA as a whole has never seen. One of the most unique fighting styles and personalities in the entire sports world. Michael Venom Page, MVP. You get an update from me every single time this man fights. I don't even tell you about the other fights because none of them matter. It's all about MVP.
In Bellator, he means. On the Bellator cards.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will be honest with you guys. MVP has only ever had 2 fights that mattered. You know, I'll be realistic as a fan of his. And he lost one of those fights. He's still relatively untested. But when it comes to star power in Bellator, no light shines brighter than MVP. Straight up. I mean, when it's time to shine, he goes out there and he does it. Truly built for the big moment. He's put on stunning displays of striking time and time again. Techniques people would never dare to use in a real fight just look normal for MVP. So while I'd love for MVP to fight his way into like the elite company I feel he deserves to be in, I feel he needs to go through Douglas Lima. He has to avenge that loss, which there's potential for that. But the numbers speak for themselves. He's 16-1 in MMA, 2-0 in pro boxing, 1-0 in kickboxing, 13 of his 19 overall wins across those 3 styles. I don't know what you want to call it. He has 13 knockouts out of 19 of those wins. People say Mark Hunt is the walk-off king, but I can guarantee you MVP has more walk-off knockouts than Mark Hunt.
I think so at this point.
I mean, there's finishes by punches, flying knees, tornado kicks, and he's also one of the only fighters to ever pull off an Estima lock submission in a fight.
What's that?
It's like an ankle lock from an open guard, I think, or something, like while they're standing up. Like if somebody went to kick you in your side and you caught it, you could like turn it into an Estima lock, I guess.
Shit.
I don't know. But he pulled it off. So coming in as my favorite fighter of all time, other than Jeff Hughes, of course, is MVP Michael Venom Page. My favorite moment of all time was
that very first highlight like that anybody ever saw of him when he got that tornado fucking kick knockout and just stood there. I knew from that moment on that was my guy. Like,
yeah,
that's who, like, if I could ever fight like one person, I'd want it to be like MVP and like be successful
for,
like,
sure.
100%. His style is just the best to watch. So number one, my favorite fighter of all time goes to Michael Venom Page.
All right.
Let's hear yours.
My number one.
Numero uno. First team.
I didn't know about this guy till you told me about him.
I put you on?
You put me onto him.
Oh, I know who it is.
I like this guy from the moment I saw him do the hand signs for the goddamn lightning blade in the cage. It's Israel the Last Stylebender Adesanya. And this is not no recency bias.
Like, this is your favorite ever.
This, as soon as I saw him do the goddamn Naruto hand signs and do them correctly, bro, I was fucking sold. I was like, this fucking guy. Oh my God. Who is he? Because most of the fighters don't really have much that they do outside of the cage that I'm interested in.
Right.
Like, Chad Mendes, he's a fucking hunter.
Cool.
Great.
Donald Cerrone likes ranching.
John Cerrone likes doing
farm work.
No, he's
Bryce Mitchell lives in a trailer.
Jerry Stevens like, I don't do anything, I just knock people out. But yeah, okay. All that, you know, just no fighter has like a connection to me like this guy does, because Naruto is my favorite anime of all time. And he knows what he's talking about. It's not like he just saw a few episodes and he's just like, yeah, no, this is cool. No, he's watched the whole goddamn series.
And it's not just about, and it's just not Naruto either. He's hip to
what he's
was
all
the
shit.
What was the one that he wrote in the
Death
book?
Death Note.
Death Note, yeah.
Death Note is so good. If you haven't watched it, dude, you need to watch it.
I haven't even watched Naruto.
Well, that's a long one. That's like a commitment. There's like 500, 600 episodes to Naruto. But Death Note's short. It's only like 20, 30 episodes. But it's really good. I would watch it. Anyway, yeah, this man's an anime fan. The only one I know of in the UFC that's actually, like, you know, proud to share his nerdiness.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, I used to, like, kind of keep that shit to myself.
Right.
I used to keep that shit under wraps, like, because no one fucking wanted to hear about
gives
that.
Gives a fuck
like,
about
no
your
one
little...
No gives a fuck about that. The only people in school that did were, like, super-duper weirdos, and I didn't really want to be seen with them. Like, it was, like, that's my clique. Like, nah.
Yeah.
So I kept that shit, like, covered up. It was my, you know, guilty pleasure.
It's my little secret.
I don't gotta do that no more, man. The goddamn middleweight champion of the world has that shit on his wall.
Right.
You know what he named his new Ferrari?
Something about
Kurama.
Naruto. Yeah.
That's the nine tails fox spirit inside of Naruto.
Oh, wow.
Kurama. Shit, even ski mash out of him. Nine tails, nine tail fox coat fur.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, but like I said, from the moment you told me about this guy and how he did in kickboxing,
you were hooked.
I was hooked. Once I saw him in his first fight against, who was that?
Rob Wilkinson.
Yeah, Rob Wilkinson. I was like, bro, this guy is going to be a champ. This guy's going to be the man. And we wanted to see him against Paulo Costa. Unfortunately, we're not going to see that yet because those were our two front runners.
Not soon.
Maybe not this year. Maybe not 2020.
No.
No. He's got a serious... He tore his bicep last year, and he did it again.
Yeah.
Same injury. That's,
big issue.
That's going to be really bad. But anyway, after seeing what Israel can do in the cage, you know, his first few fights, other than the Rob Wilkinson one, were decisions. Excuse me. We thought against Marvin Vettori, because it was just a split decision, that we were going to see, like, oh, everyone's just going to take him down, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's the fall of Israel. Like, he's not going to be that big a thing, because he just gets taken down. No, Derek Brunson fight showed all that.
Yeah.
He stuffed the takedowns and just landed absolutely
crazy
amazing
shots.
Accurate shots. Beat up Anderson Silva and was able to showboat with him in the cage at the same time.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
Amazing. Had, I'm going to say it right now, my pick for the best fight of the year against Kelvin Gastelum, and then just knocked out Robert Whittaker.
Wow.
I'm not saying this is recency bias because, like I said, I liked him from the minute you told me about him and showed me him.
Yeah.
Dude, Israel Adesanya right now. And currently of all time, is my favorite fighter.
I'm glad that I put you on to that too, because I put Zach Wagner on to Max Holloway. Like, mm-hmm. I put a lot of people onto their favorite fighters.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, Izzy also in my honorable mentions. I mean, we were so close. Like, all the dudes you like, you know, I like them too. Yeah. Borachinha definitely up there as one of my favorites of all time. I'm trying to think of some old style dudes I fuck with. I don't know. I don't really have too many
fuck with, but like to be, like, you know, my favorite. Like, I have to watch them. That's a small list.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I can't think of really any other ones that would be in my honorable mentions.
That's fair.
Pretty close list, though.
I like it. I like your list.
Thank you.
Came from the heart. I could tell.
Yeah. That's. I told you it was going to be a weird list.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. And you didn't just stick to UFC. I like that.
Yeah, there's dudes who have been cut by the UFC, who have never fought in the UFC.
Right, right.
Like,
I dig that.
But, yeah, that was our fourth list. So we got two more to go.
We already know what the last one is.
We know what the last one is.
And I'm prepared for it.
Yeah.
So what's going to be our next one? Best knockouts? Top five favorite knockouts of all time?
No.
That would be a good one.
I'd rather do, like, best fights.
Best fights of all time?
Yeah.
Or favorite fights?
No, let's go best. Like what? Like, let's go back and watch some film and then be like, okay, yeah, damn, this fight was
definitely like one of the best ever. Okay. It should be in the Hall of Fame type shit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. All right. Catch us next week. We'll be recapping UFC, what's it called?
DC.
It's UFC on ESPN 7.
Yeah.
It's actually on ESPN. You don't need ESPN Plus for this one. And then we'll be previewing UFC 245, one of the biggest cards of the year. Three title fights on the line. Yeah. And then with another list.
Yo, if you get within five, I'm taking your 1.5 away.
It's fine.
I'm just sitting here thinking about, like, damn,
so I might really start fucking you up. He's nervous.
I gave you a crazy advantage. You think I'm going
to come back from 11?
I know it's a lot, but yeah, if it gets down to five, then you're back to one.
Damn, Monty's shaking in his boots, shaking in his spurs.
All right, I'll make it three. If it gets down to three, you're back to one.
All right,
that's fair. Oh God,
I'm gonna throw up. All right, well, we're gonna go chill at Zub's. This is gonna be posted, but if you hear this before. I don't know. I'll be there till like, what?
When are you? Oh, you're about to post it like right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But if you hear this before, you know, whenever, I'll be at Zub's or Highland Square ish.
Slim's birthday's on the 9th.
2 in the morning.
Right? Your birthday's on the 9th?
Yeah. So we're celebrating today because that's a poopy Monday.
Yeah. Mondays are lame.
Mondays are wag. What are you, Garfield?
Gazorp Zorpfield.
Jesus.
Where's my enchiladas? I don't give a fuck.
Fuck out of here.
Let me think. Shout out to my cat Spyro. Where's he been at? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't got anything.
Okay. Shout out to you, listener.
Shout out to our listeners.
You're keeping us doing this. I appreciate
Follow
you.
Follow us on Facebook.
Yeah. Like us or
something.
I will be back. Bye.
Later.